Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
I love you all. I love you all. I love you all.
I love you,
love
too.
You all. I love you all. I love you all. I love you all. And I just want you to know that that's what God says. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. We won't be wrong. We're going to begin a series today. We're going to begin a series today. So just hold on to your notes and plan to be here for the next 2 weeks. And we're going to do this series that the Lord has given a word. And I guarantee you, if you hear the word, God will deliver you. There are some things in all of our lives that we need deliverance from.
Yes.
We've done a good job, church. We've done a good job of loving him. We've done a good job, church. We believe that he died and he rose. We've done a good job, church. We believe that he rose and he gives his life to us. He gave his life for us. We've done a good job, church. We believe that he sent his spirit and his spirit dwells within us. We've done a good job, church, that we know that we have all power and we can get through many. We've done a good job, church, that we know that no matter what our circumstances, when we're in the midst of it, we can call on him. We've done a good job, church, with that we know that our God will never leave nor forsake us. But yet, though, but yet, there's some more that we have to do. We need to understand, church, that we can do a better job at trusting him. We can do a better job at obeying him. We can do a better job of just letting God handle it. Just let God handle it.
Yes,
a concept that we really get into and study and understand, because we want to fix it. We want to do it. We're so dynamic in all kind of ways. But God said, I didn't create you to have to do that.
Mm.
I created you to worship me. Basically, I created you so all you got to do is what I say. You can just go along for the ride.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Do what I tell you to do and watch how you will be blessed. So today, I invite you to the book of two scriptures. First is the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter, verse 3, and then flip over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We're reading the King James Version today, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And the word of God reads, hopefully you found it. If not, you can see it on the screen, but Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3, and it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Lord.
Then flip over to Matthew 6 and 33, a very familiar passage of scripture that I know many of us know and have quoted, and we declare and decree it. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. And today is just the thought as we begin this series. Let God be God.
My Lord.
Let God be God. So in the name of Jesus, we tell the enemy, it's time for you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You've been sitting. You've been surveying the situation. You've been trying to see how you're going to create confusion. But in the name of Jesus, it's time for you to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time for you to go. Will y'all agree with me?
Yeah.
If you agree with that statement, somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you agree with me, will somebody say, get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan.
Oh, somebody didn't get it. I don't know. I think there's a little few more people than what I heard, but somebody ought to be saying, get behind me, Satan. You serious about this thing? You don't want nothing, Satan.
Get behind me.
So let's say that again. You. Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. So today we're going to begin to understand what this means to let God be God.
Yes. Amen.
Let God be God. We know there's no other before God, right?
Amen.
Who is God? Who is God? I just want you to know something real quick. Who is God? God is the what? Creator of the universe, right?
Amen.
Uh-huh. We know who God is. God is the one who created what? The heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Okay, so now I got a question for you. I got a question. Well, who created God?
No one. He's self-existent.
He always has.
Hey, come on, thank you, somebody. Yeah, nobody created God. God was, and God is. He was self-created. He exists because of who he is. Nobody can compare to God. So if you're worshiping somebody that lived on earth, and this is the only place they've been, that ought not be your God.
Mm-hmm.
See, before there was anything for anybody to look at, my God was. Oh, somebody said that's your God.
Yes.
Before that, there was anything to be compared to, my God was. Somebody don't hear me now. Before anything was anything, my God was.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you for being God. So what do we mean? What are we going to talk about today? Let God be God. Well, the first thing is we're just going to listen to what God says. So the first point we're going to talk about today, the command to let God be God. Well, we know before we get to this point here in Exodus that there was a whole lot of issues that took place, right? A lot of opportunities. We know, I'm going to fast forward through it. God created the heavens and the earth, and on 5 days, God made everything that was to be made. But then God did something extremely exciting, extremely important, and something that was beyond anybody's comprehension. He blew into some dust of the dirt his spirit when he what? Formed us.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody, you ought to get excited right now. You were not the mastermind of some scientist. You were created in the image of God, and not only created, he blew his spirit into your body so that we came into existence. And unlike all the other things that God made, God said those things were good, but he said what? We are very good.
Hallelujah.
If you don't believe me, go back and read the Genesis account of creation. Somebody knows it, but go read it again. Make that one of your Bible study devotional times this week. Read the account, because you'll notice the language is good. God said you are very good. And then because we were very good, God set us up to rule over the earth.
Amen.
He gave us first class priority.
Mm.
Nobody was above us. You don't believe me? Who named every living creature?
Adam.
Adam named it. That's a man, y'all. The man. God said, I can name it. I can do it. But because of my spirit of you, I'm going to entrust this to you. So in order for me to entrust this to you to be over, I want you to name it. So the lion became the lion and the giraffe the giraffe and the spider, but not just a spider. There was a tarantula spider. Then there was a willow spider. Then there was, four or five different kind of roaches. Then there's two or three different kind of bunny rabbits. And then there were the butterflies and the worm. And y'all don't get me. And then there was the elephants. And there was the raven bird, which is the scavenger bird. But then there was the dove with the whole. Y'all don't get this. God said, giving man the opportunity to just do what I tell him to do. So you name it. That's how much God loves us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And because of that love, he set us over to just have a good life. I don't know what that life's about. I don't know what that life's about in the physical realm. I've never had it where everything was just so good. We didn't grow up with a whole lot of money. We grew up with a struggle, but it was what it was. We didn't complain, but it wasn't the best that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if we look at life, everybody's striving for something better. I want more money. I want a better house. I want a nicer car. I want to be able to travel when I want to travel. I want to be able to do what I want to do when I get ready. I want to eat better hamburger and better chicken and better steak and better lobster. I want to eat better homegrown, what do they call it? Organic vegetables, y'all. Y'all don't understand something. Organic used to be what came out of the ground with no chemicals. Now organic means you spend twice the money for the same thing if you just put it in your own ground and don't put no chemicals down, and there you go. So you go to the store, and I'm just bewildered, y'all. I'm bewildered. You go to the store and you spend $5 a pound to get some organic broccoli. And I said, if I just stick the seed in the ground and don't put no chemicals and make my own dirt, there's my organic and I can do it. But I'll go to the store. And God gave it to us free. Oh, somebody missed that. Somebody missed that. So the command, first thing we understand, God commanded us to let God be God. You know the story. When you think about Adam in the garden, he said, Adam, you can do whatever you want in the garden. He said, okay, by the way, you guess Adam said, well, I was naming stuff. There was nobody for me. Fast forward, God said, I make somebody for you. Bone in your bones, flesh in my flesh. She shall be called woman. So he put you in. I said, you can do whatever you want in this garden. So I ain't putting no restrictions except one. Don't eat of that tree. He didn't tell him to say what? That was a tree of good and knowledge. He started saying, he didn't want to tell him that's sin. He just told him, don't eat of that tree. But everything else out there. Uh-oh, somebody just got delivered. So that's why I keep running after what I'm told not to have.
My God.
It was the nature. But then all of a sudden, we know what? Sin entered the world because they disobeyed God. And this is, I have to tell you, this is where knowledge is not a good thing. Uh-oh, he didn't say that. Yes, I did. God said knowledge is not always a good thing. If it's the forbidden knowledge that I told you not to mess with, it's not a good thing. You don't believe me? What did Adam do? He got tricked into, no, he got tempted. He didn't get tricked. He got tempted to disobey God.
Yes.
So he got knowledge that he wasn't supposed to have. Oh, what did that knowledge do? The knowledge told him he was naked. The knowledge made him aware that now he was separated from God. Oh, what else did the knowledge do? The knowledge let him know that he was soon going to be in a predicament that he wasn't expected to be in, because now he was going to be kicked out of the garden to have to live a rough life. Oh, God, somebody just got something for the child today. If we would impress upon our children, if you would just seek God and you would try and listen to God, God will give you all of your dreams. But please don't try to do it on your own, because when you try to do it on your own without God, there's troubling days ahead. Somebody, your child has been delivered. Somebody, your child has been in situations. Somebody, your child has struggled in places that you never thought they would ever struggle. Why? Because they didn't heed the knowledge of God. They heeded the knowledge of the world. Somebody, right this moment, your child been here for a long time and they still struggle. Oh, matter of fact, we are somebody's child and we're still struggling with some of the things that God didn't want us to do.
Say on, preacher. Say on.
So, but first, now, so we got that out of the way. So now that there's been sin, and now that we're in this terrible state of being, God said, I'm going to fix it. God said, I'm going to fix it. The first thing God did after he had taken them through some rough times, you know, children of Israel were what? They were enslaved to Pharaoh. God said, okay, I'll get you out. God didn't use the most eloquent speaker, the most reputable individual, the person that had everything on a star resume. God used the killer. God used somebody who stumbled, couldn't speak clearly. God used somebody that was always up and down with their faith. God used a very prideful person, thought they were somebody. He used Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because I'm going to do a thing in you, I need you all to know, no matter where you are,
thank you, Lord,
you let me be God, you still be all right. Oh, somebody didn't get that. Somebody didn't get that. So here we are. So God has been talking with Moses. God has brought the children of Israel out of bondage. And here they are now. And God said, come on up here, Moses, and talk to me. And Moses went because he saw a bush that what? Could not be consumed. Moses said, now, I done been around some things, but I ain't never seen a bush on fire and yet it wasn't destroyed. Has anybody seen something on fire and it didn't get destroyed? No, that's what fire does. It destroys something, don't it? Hallelujah. But Moses said this bush was not consumed. So he went up and he talked to God. And here we find the first thing that God said to Moses. He said, look, and God wrote in Exodus 20, he said, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house. Said, first off, I blessed you.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it. Your homies couldn't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your mom and daddy can't do it. Your sister, brother, and best, your uncle and aunt, nobody can do it. Your wife can't do it. And we need to understand, nobody can do this but God for us.
Amen.
Said, I brought you out of bondage, out of the bondage of our mind, out of the bondage of our thought, out of the bondage of fear, out of the bondage of pride. He brought us out. He said, the first thing is I give you some understanding. And the commandment, he said, what? Thou should have no other gods before me. That's a commandment. God said, oh yeah, I did this, but now I got a couple of stipulations on you so that you know how to live this life. Before, I didn't have to give them to you. But because I see now that you do your own thing, I got to let you know the rules. Somebody going to be delivered right here. I know I was. See, if there were no rules and things were good, everything would be okay. But because we go after the things we don't know, there got to be some rules today. God is a God of order. He says, so the first thing I want you to understand, thou should have no other God before me.
My God.
Let me be me. Let God be God. That's what he was saying to Moses. This is my territory. This is my responsibility. This is my control pattern. This is the thing that I created. So these are the rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody write that on your list. I got to get rid of some of my gods.
Mm.
I ain't going to tell you what your gods are. I got some suggestions. Somebody on this call is fear. Somebody is doubt.
Mm.
Somebody is I know everything. Somebody's I'm better than other folks. Somebody, it might be an addiction of some kind. Somebody, it might be anger. Somebody. You go through your Rolodex in your mind. You go through the reality of truthfulness in your life, and you write down what it is that you got to let go that was your God. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Then we flip over and we go to Matthew. And when we look at Matthew, we got to look at Matthew. He says, look, he wants us to understand in Matthew 19 and verses 17 through 20 through 18. He said, and he said unto him, why callest me good? Why are you calling me good? He was having this conversation as he had been healing and he had been providing. He had been showing the power of who Jesus was. And now he's having to say, and you call me good. He said, wait a minute, this ain't about me. This is how awesome Jesus was. He didn't take no credit, but he said, there is none good but one, and that is God.
Amen.
Even Jesus followed the rules. There was no other God but him, but his Father. Even though he represents, and look, don't get super intelligent and try to go, well, the Trinity and God and Jesus and the Spirit are all one, but they had a role at a specific time. And in this time, it wasn't about Jesus. It was still all about God the Father.
Amen.
That's when we mix theology and we don't interpret it properly. Jesus himself said, even though he knew he was one with the Father and declared it, it was still about the Father.
Yes.
So guess what, y'all? Even though we've been born again, washed with the blood of the Lamb, we can speak in tongues, we can prophesy, we can lay hands on the healing. It's not about us. It's about the Father.
They are.
Somebody just got some fresh anointing on that one. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about what thus said the Father. All the things that I know in my mind that I study about the Lord, it don't matter what I know. It's about what does the Father tell me to do right now.
Say it.
Amen.
He says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, he said to him, which Jesus said, thou shalt what? Do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. He was pointing back to the commandments that Moses was getting. And the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Jesus is saying to us today, put away the other gods. Jesus is saying to us today, let those things go. Jesus is saying to us today, self-centeredness has become a god. Look at our society today. People are declaring, I ain't going to take no vaccine. I ain't going to do it. If that's what God told you, then be still and do it. But they ain't saying God told me to do it. I just ain't going to do it. Listen, God saying what? We should love one another as what? He is love to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what he says, right? Love our neighbors as ourselves. And guess what? We so far from loving our neighbors, I ain't going to do. And now that we know we should still be patient to everybody vaccinated, we running here, here, and yonder and doing all kinds of things. And guess what? Things have transformed. I can't go back to Michigan until I'm fully vaccinated now because what? The rise has gone back up to 18% because what? People won't stay home.
My God.
our sons and our daughters. 20-something to 30-something-year-old age group. I got to get out. The old age group, you know, we return to a child when we get old, right? So seniors are running all over the place. I got to get out. Said, thou should have no other God before me. Then we go to Matthew 22 and verses 36 through 40. And look at what he says. And he goes here and he goes and he gives us some more to say. He said, Master. Somebody was seeking information. Say, Master. This young man came and said, Master, one of the Pharisees, one of the learned people, still wanted to know somebody. Said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, I got to take a moment here to understand something. God gave Moses in Exodus 10 commandments. And that's all that God knew was needed. We don't need any more than 10, y'all. Not until Jesus came and declared another greater commandment. But we only needed those 10, y'all. But because man's inability to surrender to the command of God, to let God be God, they created a whole bunch of laws. And those whole bunch of laws were not created in the spirit of God. They were created in the spirit of self-centeredness, which is selfishness, which was what against God. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus says in that, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Oh, wait, but that's only two. I thought there were 10. Well, if you go back and take the 10 commandments are broken into two sections. The first four commandments talk about the love of God, period. The love of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That's commandment. The second six commandments are broken down into what? How we get along with our neighbor. You don't steal, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't lie, you don't cut. Jesus was at an understanding. He said, look, I don't even need to break it down in all 10, but go back and read them and understand. But start with the first one. Let God be God.
Man.
Okay, somebody said, well, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Well, let's go to New Testament. 1 John 4:15-19 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm hoping that's you on this call today, on this service today, what? God dwelleth in him, and he in God. How many can say Jesus dwells in me?
Amen.
All right, I ought to hear some more people, y'all. Somebody ought to be saying, thank you, Lord, for a testimony. Yeah. I can identify with who I am. I can tell the world, that's who I am. Jesus is in me. I am a light unto the world. I am saved by his blood. I am washed in his blood. So, yes, I'm thankful. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm not bashful. Tell the world, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I surrender. And yes, I let God be God.
My God.
Hallelujah.
He said, but wait a minute, let's go on. But we have known and believe that the love of God hath to us. God is love. Oh, yeah. God is love. That's why he told us what? That should happen. Because there was nothing greater than the love that he has for us.
My God.
Amen. He made us. He blew his. He could have blew the air from the universe. No, but he blew his spirit. So I want you to be like me.
Okay.
So they didn't make that up for Mike. I want to be like Mike. God did that in the beginning. I want you to be like me. So here, I made you in my image and I blew my spirit. I want you to be like me.
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is in you. Thank you, Lord. So if God is in you, love is in you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love.
My God.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I got to look around. Do I have any witnesses? There's no fear in love.
My God.
Amen.
I got one or two. How many of y'all fearing anything?
My God.
There is no fear in love. If God is love, and God is in me, I can feel. I wonder where my boldness came from. It ain't because I'm bad at anybody else. But I get bolder in my older age the more I surrender to God. and let God be God. It can't help but get bold because God is the one being bold. I'm just going along mm-hmm. for the ride. I'm just the shell. I'm the outer package, y'all. He's dressed up, and I had a messed up ride, but he dressed me up. He cleaned me up. He tied a ribbon on me. He put a light on me, and he made it where, hey, I could be bold. Why? Because he's doing the speaking on the inside. Because if it was left up to me, I'd be done with all of it, and I'd run and hide. I done had enough. I'd be saying, okay, 3 score 10, Lord, you give me another 6 years, and I'll be done. But no, God said, because I'm in you, the love is in you. And since you in me, you got to speak for me. Because you got to speak for me, you got to live for me. Because you got to live for me, you got to do what I tell you to do. Just let God be God. That's what he said. That's what he said. Let God be God. Say, here in mm-hmm. our love made perfect that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. So let's ask the question. God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect, yeah. So it casts out fear. So there's another kind of love operating that we're afraid of and we have fear. Then we need to make a declaration. As Ezra told him today, we need to come before God and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, cast out that thing which causes me to fear. Lord, in the name of Jesus, cast out that thing that I'm holding on to. Oh, maybe I'm afraid of losing my house. Maybe I'm afraid of losing a child. Maybe I'm afraid of losing my job. Maybe I'm afraid of being sick for a long time. Maybe I'm afraid that somebody won't like me. Maybe I'm afraid that I'll stand out like a sore thumb. And Lord, you know, I just like to fit in. Maybe I'm afraid to take a stand because then all of a sudden I got to make draw a line in the clay so that everybody knows that there's no doubt. But Lord, you know, I love staying in the middle ground. I love to make everybody happy. Lord, but that's not the love that you have. Your love casts out fear. Your love draws boldness in a declaration. For God, I'm going to live, and for God, I'm going to die.
Amen.
Right.
There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment.
Yes.
I got.
Somebody's been tormented. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love mm-hmm. him because he first loved us. He made us. So guess what? When you stand in love, and I know there's a testimony. I wish we had time. When you stand in love, you ain't got to worry about nothing. Why? Because you know that you can stand no matter what.
My God.
Amen. Oh, you don't have to believe me. You can keep going. And I'm going to be finished here real soon. We're going to go just part one. This is just part one. Say Isaiah. Isaiah said what? Wait a minute. Look at what Isaiah had to tell the people. Said in Isaiah 55, he said, look, I got to tell y'all, we got to come back to where we're supposed to be. That's what Ezra told him. We got to repent. He said what? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will what? Abundantly pardon. After being wicked and doing their own thing, he said the Messiah is going to come. You need to seek him, just like Matthew 36 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isaiah said it way back when, but God had to let them know when he kicked Adam out. He said, that's all right, Adam. I ain't going to forsake you, but guess what? I'm going to come back again to make it right.
Jeez.
And there he was giving instructions to Moses, like he was giving instructions to Adam. How Jesus now gives instructions to us. Let God be God. So for my thoughts, it gets deep right here. Mm-hmm. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. The Lord knows our iniquity. The Lord knows our shortcomings. The Lord knows he gives us a little bit of knowledge and now we know everything. But he said, wait a minute. You can know whatever you want to know, but my thoughts are not your thoughts.
My God.
Amen.
Ooh. I can't tell y'all this because you don't know my life, but let me tell you something. First Lady said it on Sunday school, but I was just like that. When I learned something, I knew it, and you didn't have to tell me twice. When I learned it, I knew it, and because I knew it, I'd run with it.
Yes.
And I love me some God. I learned some things about God. I would tell people about God. That's just the way it is. But the more I learned about God, the more confused I became because some of the things that God did didn't seem to line up. Well, I'll just go what he told me before. And God said, but that's not the way this thing works. You got to let me be God and you be the one who speaks for God. Oh, my goodness.
My Lord.
Then he goes on and said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, he said, look what I do. He's having the same conversation he had with Job. The rain comes down. Can you send it back to me? Oh, somebody.
My God.
Hallelujah.
The snow comes down. Can you send it back to me? No. Say, storm clouds roll. Can you make them stop?
My God.
No. He said, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Rain coming down. He said, but water to what? The earth, making it bring forth in. But he said, when I send rain and when I send snow, it's got a purpose. It brings forth the things you need to do. Can you make your own water to grow your own plants? No, you're going to starve. Why? Because you don't have the power to do it. That only comes from God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He says, so shall, in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall what accomplished which I please. It shall prosper in the things where I sit. For ye shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Is there anybody in here because you know Jesus? You're clapping your hands and pray. Is there anybody in here because you know Jesus? There's a light that goes before you. Is there anybody in here because you know Jesus? You got joy. Is there anybody in here that know Jesus? You got peace. Is there anybody in here that you know Jesus? You can go forth. You break into a song. When things seem to get you down, you can say, oh, my God.
My God.
Something has to break. Oh, my God, Jesus, keep me near to go. Oh, my God, because he lives, I can face. Oh, my God, I know the Lord will make a way. Somehow, oh, my God, everything. Everything's going to be, oh, my God. Oh, I listened this morning, and this is my song, y'all. Why? Because I can't sing. That's not what I do. Say, but one day I'm going to sing in the heavenly choir. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. That went off. You can't sing. Your voice is too weary. Break up. You get off too. Say, that's all right. That's all right. Daddy went on. He said, guess what I'm doing now, son? I'm singing in the heavenly choir.
My God.
Because the word said that we will be around the throne. We cry, holy, holy Lord, glory and honor. Did y'all hear that in Revelation 4? We cry, holy, holy Lord. Let God be God.
Yes.
Then the last thing here for you today, it says Jude. Beloved, Jude 3-5, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith and was once delivered unto the saints. Say, look, Jude said, you got to fight for this thing. You got to stand. You got to contend for this thing. You got to stand up for this thing to let God be God. Not the world be the world, but God be God. God overcame the world. That's what Jesus said. Well, what? I have overcome the world. Say, for there are certain men that crept in. There are those out there who are trying to creep in and just give us a little bit of truth, but not the whole truth, to make us doubt and not do what God has told us to do. So we stop and we spend time thinking about it because we're trying to understand what they're saying. But as we try to understand what they're saying, we're not taking action in faith because we haven't heard the fullness of the truth. They're sent to confuse us. He said, we got to be warned on this current day. Talking about us today. See, for there are certain men who were what? Before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turn. Or they say, yeah, I love somebody, but they ain't got no God in them. I'm trying to get God. They out there trying to stir us away, turn us away. So I will therefore put you in remembrance, though what? Ye once knew this, how that the Lord has saved people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. We need to be reminded that God took us out of the world, and this world that we live in is going to be destroyed. I don't care if it's women, children, or whatever that we might know. That's what the Sunday school lesson said. Hey, those who didn't do, they turned you away from God. We got to come back. Today, we got to get rid of the God, the worldliness, and get on the godliness. So let God be God.
My God.
That's part one, y'all. That's part one, but I got an illustration for you. I got an illustration for you. I got an illustration for you. Okay, I got an illustration for you. Don't freeze on me. There we go. We got to stop treating God like imitation flavor.
My God.
I'm giving you an illustration here. I'm giving you an illustration. We can only go by what we know. When I grew up, we use imitation vanilla flavor. Why? Because it was cheap. We didn't get the fullness of the vanilla flavor, but it was close enough because it was cheap. These are current prices today. If you go to Sam's Club, you can get a 32 ounce, 32 ounces. That's a lot of imitation vanilla flavor for $4.97. That was yesterday's price, mm-hmm. y'all. If y'all get the pure vanilla flavoring, it's $17.58 for 8 ounces. That's a 4-to-1 difference at 4 times the price. Uh-oh, some don't seem wrong. Guess what? That's how we treat life. That's how we treat God. Hey, God, I know that you say do this, but guess what? I can accomplish my goal over here if I do a little bit of you, but some of this over here. So what happens when I take some of the world? I make all imitation right, God. And imitation God is no good for nobody. So it's not going to change nobody's life. It's not going to save nobody's life. It's not going to get us on one accord. See, we rely on what the world said, that we can never all agree on nothing. That's not what the world said. Look at those who stand.
My God.
We got to let God be God, y'all.
Better pray.
And God, there is no mistake. That's what the word says. Now, let me tell you how God will bless you. Some of us just heard the testimonies of the saints today, right? How they got the real God.
Yeah.
They didn't get the imitation God. Cars rolling over on the highway, they got the real God. They walk out of this car, they all good. Then they said, we got the real God. How do I know? Because somebody who said, I would never talk about this, I would never do this, you walked into their presence, they saw the real God that's on the inside of you, the light that's on the inside of you, and they know I can come to you because you represent the real God, and I can share my troubles, even if they don't believe in God yet. That's still to be determined. But they know and recognize the real God. Let me tell you, every now and then, the best cakes my mama made, they weren't from imitation. She would save her nickels and pennies, and the Watkins man would come by, and she would get the real Watkins vanilla.
Yes.
And she said, oh, we're going to have a good time for Christmas. We're going to have a good time for Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, I'm going to make one for your daddy's birthday so he can get the real vanilla flavor. And that bottle would sit there. No, we ain't using that today. We're using the imitation stuff. We had 2 bottles on the shelf. The one on the high shelf, that's the good stuff. That's only for special days. But the one on the little, hey, we can use this. It gives us just enough to make it think that it's sweet and everything would be okay. Take God off of that imitation shelf.
My God.
God is a pure God. God is a mighty God. God is an awesome God. And without God, there is no other. So today, just let God be God. Stop trying to mix and match. Stop trying to make him do. I don't care where you go. Everything we do, God, just let God be God. Nobody like you, Lord. Great song. But can I live it? I will trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Great song. But will I live it? I got to lost my flag in battle, but I still got the staff in my hand. Lord, I'm going to bring it over to you or in that promised land. Or once I lose my flag, do I throw my staff away? It is what it is. No, let God be God. Somebody said, don't sweat the small stuff. That ain't what God said. Mm-hmm. God said, tend to my ear. Hear me. God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Don't sweat in the small stuff. Say, when they do these things over here, it's okay. But if you don't sweat the small stuff become a big stuff. It is too late to try and go back and change it. But we ought to stand on the word. It says, train up a child when he is young. And when he's old, he won't depart. They might do some things, but they won't depart. Mm-hmm. We have done some things. God has trained us up. We might do some things, but we won't depart from the truth. So we won't depart and go to the imitation. We'll hold on to the real vanilla.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why do you want to know? Why do you want to know? Because that's just who God is.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
So let God be God. I'm done for the day. There'll be part 2 next week. Tune your stations in. That's what they used to say. Batman said, same bat channel, same bat station. This is same God channel, same God word. We're going to come back and we're going to hear what God said. He said, let God be God. He's crying after us today. He's showering down blessings upon us. He said, I beg you, let God be God. Just let me be who I want you to be. Let me do what you want me to do. Let me handle your business. Let me heal you. Let me give you peace. Let me give you joy. Let me give you a little long suffering. Let me let you sing from the rafters. Let me show that you're the other world than what I am, the only true God. Let you stand in the midst of chaos. Let you bring peace in the midst of lack of peace. So the word of the day is let God, let God, let God be God.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.